Happy Saturday, beautiful people. Thank you for tuning in to Align with Plants, Align with Health. This is Lenita, driving into the Sonoran Desert now. Well, not actually into the Sonoran Desert, but making our moves along the west and now southwest portion of the United States. And the drive's been good. We've seen a lot of weather. Everything is going really well. I had thought about doing a special bonus episode on the drive a couple of weeks ago, and thought I would only do it if I felt inspiration. And driving through Southern California, I felt that inspiration. Seems like there's a lot of weather patterns that are different. People all over the place are talking about weather that they've just never seen. Also very stable, right? Still pretty much the same weather patterns that we've all seen, but stronger storms in the winter and in the summer. We have more powerful storms. There definitely is and has been technology and patents and a lot of research out there actually about weather modification and the fact that weather being a definitely at least partially mechanical process can be modified and can be controlled, and clouds can be created and things can be intensified. It was in Arizona, as I've mentioned on the show before, that I first watched these planes flying over the sky repeatedly, obviously leaving a trail of something behind. And from my own recollection years ago, I definitely knew I hadn't seen that. I've been watching this guy all my life. I didn't notice that before. Though the technology and, again, the patents have been around for a long time. And so, you know, who knows exactly what's happening on our Earth? There's definitely a call for climate change and a general worry about the future of our Earth and the future of humanity and the future of, you know, the world for our children. So my time in the Pacific Northwest and my time on Earth has brought me to just very different conclusions. And because I'm a living being with a heart that I personally trust, that's rooted in healing energy and love for myself, as well as anyone that I come in contact with, I feel really good with not seeing things that way. And I feel really good with having hope. And as I leave Portland and as I leave the Pacific Northwest and that cold rainforest, rainforested part of the world with so much water and the cycles there, I think I've come to understand why I really had to be there, and I'll do a show next season on that. But it's a different type of lifestyle when you have such drastic shifts in sun and temperature and water levels. It's taught me, though, or it brought alive my true hope inside, the hope that of me as a little girl, the hope that I was born to be able to walk with and hold for as many people as possible. And as I was driving through Cali, I had this hope in my heart, and that's what I wanted to share today. So I don't know how long this is going to go. I'm just kind of going off the head, driving on the 10, which a week from today is my birthday, the 10th. Pisces. Driving on the 10th. So I just want to talk a little bit about that energy. So in Southern California, there have been really bad, really bad fires. And then subsequent rains, or the rains kind of came in right after really heavy rains. And with the burned ground kind of unstable, a lot of trees and plants burned down. Southern California is quite hilly. There have been a lot of mudslides. And I don't really know a lot of what's going on down there or down here, because I was up in the bubble of Portland. But I do know that they've been having some major challenges, and a lot of homes and property have been lost, and I'm sure some lives as well. I'm not 100% sure. though, as we were coming east, I saw quite a few different signs and charred ground, quite a few signs about mudslides and to watch out, and that a mudslide had just happened. And as we're driving, I'm looking at these hills and realizing just how bare they are. And this was knowledge that I had come to before going to the Pacific Northwest. Though, again, the Pacific Northwest did something different for me. It reconnected me with the hope, with this natural hope that I had as a child. And the hope for me as that I had as a child was that the world could be saved. And I don't even really know what saved means. Like, what does that actually mean? And my adult self now realizes that, you know, the dark is always going to be there. But I had this hope in me that, man, that I feel again. And so as I'm looking at these hills, I realize that, well, there's solutions to these issues. There's solutions to these mudslides. Obviously, the fires came and did quite a number on the land, which is a natural part of the cycle. And mudslides and fires and destruction is a part of our natural cycles. And so obviously, us becoming more aware and more able to embrace our darkness is a big part of this always. Though, regardless of if we embrace that or not, there are solutions to these issues, at least things that we can do to the land, ways that we can work with the land in our cities to make it be just, you know, more suitable for our city life. Now, the land itself is going to heal herself. She's always going to heal herself, right? The mudslides and the fires and the frost and the rain and all of it, the drought, the land is going to be healed. Since it's in our neighborhoods and in our cities, we can do certain things to control this and to make them, you know, more, I almost want to say, to just make them more useful for us, safer for us. If we terraced these hills and turned them into kind of steps, which is what a terrace is, and planted trees and perennial trees and perennial, and of course it could be food bearing, but they don't even have to be, perennial local native trees and brush on these terraced hills, the situation would be at least much less drastic. The fire is going to come and it's going to still burn up the land, but the thing about fire, when you have a lot of life, trees have a lot of water in them, and the trees tend to not all die, and many of them don't die at all, but depending on how bad the fire is, a lot of those trees don't actually die, and they actually provide a lot of protection because there's so much water that they have in them. So when you have a lot of life, especially trees, on land like that, especially terraced land that's going to be able to hold water better than these hills and these slopes that they have down here that are just nothing but grass, we have a real solution, a real option, a real way that we can work with the land in an extremely hopeful way that that will actually work, or at least help the situation. And even, let's say, in the worst case scenario, like all of the same things still happen, it is at least inspiring us to think in a solutions-based mentality and to have hope. Because to look at these hills and to look at these homes that are beneath these hills and to realize, dang, like, that happened right over there, you know, that mudslide and fire happened there, and if it happened here, then these people are at risk. Instead of just sitting there and being at risk, we can actually get up and do something. And if the powers that be wish to create a universal crisis in weather, the real beautiful thing about this is that this is never going to be a universal crisis. Weather will never be able to be a universal crisis unless we allow it to, unless we have fear in our hearts and we allow the fear of a universal crisis of weather, that our system, our ecosystem is breaking down, to overtake us. But the thing is that can't happen, guys. Our entire ecosystem cannot break down. It is a living ecosystem. It makes adjustments, just like all parts of life do. And the only way this system is adjusted, or it makes the adjustments that this system makes, is through life and death. So, you know, our own lives end in what we perceive as death. And so I think that because we're not really in tune with our true selves and our true natures as a human soul and as a being here, as a living being on the earth, where so few of us are in tune with this. I don't know. We kind of miss this. It's really interesting. We don't really die. Energy, whatever the energetic force behind me, that energy, it doesn't die. You know, we see that here. Light, these things don't actually die. They just transmute, they shift, they turn into other things. And so the reality is that even though we have this somewhat, you know, fatalistic perspective, especially when we're not in tune with our true selves, it doesn't mean that that's what our bigger ecosystem is about, or even what we are about. So it's about hope. It's about having hope and looking at things in hope, in a hopeful energy. And it's not like I speak about this so often because I have so many people throughout the years have brought up the fact of, like, you know, this doesn't work. Having hope doesn't do anything. Prayers doesn't do anything. This doesn't do anything. We have to have action. We have to resist. Well, you can do that. Your action can be resistance. You're going to be guaranteed to get additional resistance then. I personally, I know that what I do with my energy is going to be what I see in energy. And so since I personally am not really into resisting, and I personally don't feel like resistance, it doesn't work for me. When I resist, I end up uncomfortable. For me personally, having hope is the alignment that I see. There was some I don't even know if it's true or not, but some knowledge floating around that some state or some courts said that the hairstyle locks, and I believe they called them dreadlocks, that employers can decide not to hire someone because of locks. Well, a lot of people are going to feel in their hearts that is worth a fight, and they're going to resist, and they're going to fight, and they're going to fight that decision and try to make an equal opportunity there. And I applaud those people, and I know that they have that call within their hearts, because that's who they are and that's what they were born to do. It's just not the way I see it, and I believe that there is value in all of our perspectives. And so if we can blend them together and support each other, stay in each other's lanes, that's to me where the real beauty is at, where the real healing is because I can support activists and I can support people who, I can love them and I can support them and encourage them to do their work, people who want to resist, because I know that they're doing it because that's what their heart is telling them. I trust the human heart. And this needs support as well, because hope is real. And it's not the opposite of activism. It is activism. Being able to look at the world in a hopeful view and with even, let's say, rose-colored glasses allows us to see all of the beautiful things and make sure that we don't miss them in the resistance. Because what are we really fighting for then? If our ecosystem can just fall apart, what are we really fighting for? What does it matter that women aren't getting paid equal, or that a job wouldn't hire me because of my locks? What would it matter if I can't breathe fresh air or drink clean water? Our ecosystem comes first, and the truth of it is that that's gonna be fine. Though, well, there's room for all of it, and we need all of it. And so, I'm gonna continue to hold space and create a space for hope, and to make sure that I take the perspective that I have from a little child who believed she could save the world, who believed it, not necessarily by myself, but I believed in saving the world. I'm holding space for that little girl, and I'm going to continue to allow her to learn the methods and the ways of the earth so that she can use those methods to share the hope. because Mother Earth herself is hopeful. Mothers are hopeful. Mothers have forever faith in their children. It's called hope. It doesn't go away. It doesn't matter what the children do or what they don't do. A mother will always be hopeful of her child, and in her child, she will always hope for the best. And that's the energy that we have been birthed in, and that we live literally on top of and embraced by and surrounded by. And so our cities are highly unnatural creations of ours, and the challenges of the cities are going to be highly unnatural, like discriminating against somebody based on their hair. Well, that's just dumb. That makes no sense. It's illogical. Though, again, when you poop in your water, you can understand how those are the types of decisions that that type of a system is going to create. A system like Mother Nature, like the forest, that naturally releases its leaves every year to create food for the next generation, that's a system to get with. That's a system to trust. That's a system to have hope in. So, if anything, warriors, just listen to your heart. You might not hear that same call. You might not be worried about what's happening in forests and the and nature, or perhaps you are from a more legislative perspective. But listen to it, because we're all here together, side by side. I'm coming into this new address here, and I have 11s on both sides of an 8 in the middle of this address. It's forever, guys. We're warriors. We do this time and time again, lifetime and lifetime again. We do this together. We show up together. We activate together, and we make the correct adjustments needed in order to continue to go forward, because life doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. The city's gonna fall. The system's gonna fall. They have time and again. They're gonna continue to. We're gonna keep making new ones. What is it gonna look like? Is it gonna be one that even has to ever consider discrimination? Because we could literally just like pretend that's not there. Don't work for those people then. Don't work for that company. How about that? If a company is ran by people who don't want to let you work there, don't work for them and go work for somebody who can or who does want you. Go be with the people that want to be with you. Because there's a lot of us out here and there's so much work to do. So it's pitch black now. I'm going to go ahead and focus back on the road and get home safe with my family. I look forward to reaching out to you all again in the next couple of weeks, few weeks, from Phoenix, from the desert, and hopefully getting right into some projects and looking for a city lot that we can borrow and do exactly what I watched happen in my neighborhood in Lentz, Oregon. They borrowed a city lot, used the community, invested the community, linked the community to the project, to the land, and built a community food forest, an orchard that will be there to feed so many families for so many years. And it was all on borrowed land, on city land, a regeneration project. And that's the next steps here. I'm so excited to reconnect with my people and my family out here, and to reconnect with you guys in the spring. So thanks for tuning in. I hope that you too have room for hope, and that you can train yourself to look at the world from a solutions-based mentality. Look at these challenges. Look at the challenges for the solutions. Look in the challenge for the solution. That's the only place the solution is at, is in the challenge. And some of these challenges might take us individually lifetimes, you know, to figure out. But look in the challenge. Look in the challenge. That's where the solution is. And you'll find it if you're looking. So peace, family. Happy Saturday. Talk to you soon.